Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 218. My name is Christopher Kim. I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
What up?
And Travis Baum.
What's happening?
And today we are talking about industry trends that we love and we hate. What should stay and what should just...
GTFO.
Get the fuck out. Before that, we'll do some distractions. We have a little bit of news, not a whole lot. After, we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Before we do that, let's see what's going on. Travis.
Hey.
Tell me something.
I have been reading. How about
okay.
that?
Congratulations, right?
I was waiting because
I've never really talked about reading stuff very much, not too often on the show, but in my spare time, my wife has been hounding me since the movie's coming out on March 23rd to read the first Hunger Games before the movie comes
out.
Oh,
man. Crystal is so excited about that movie.
And I got to tell you what, man, I finished the entire trilogy in about 5 days.
Wow.
Destroyed it.
That's impressive.
If you will.
How long are the books?
Each book is around 350 to 380 pages.
It's not bad.
But the lines are double spaced as well, so like they're really
no, it's pretty easy read.
They're quick reads. Yeah. I mean, at the most, like if you just gave yourself some time, you can probably finish in like 2 or 3 days.
How's it end? Do they eat a steak or something?
Yeah, steak dinners all around the table.
Dinner.
You nailed it right there.
Awesome.
Steak dinners. Yeah. And I gotta tell you what, man, it's fantastic. The last book, definitely a lot bleaker, and, you don't come out with a smile on your face. It's a very serious tone book, because at first, there seems to be a lot of teenage
stuff.
Someone
asked for ketchup for their steak!
I know, what a bastard, right?
Don't do that, man.
No, never.
It's dark shit.
So, it's really good. I'm completely hyped for the movie. I can't wait. It's like 38 days away from the time we're recording this, but it's gonna be really cool. I can't wait for it. Other than that, tonight, I guess we should just pop in a little Indus bar, because I popped open one of my first brews that I use in my Mr. Beer kit when I made my own beer. The general consensus from Chris was that it was gonna be crazy sweet with the amount of brown sugar and honey I put in there. Not sweet at all. I don't know if I did something wrong. It doesn't taste bad. It just tastes like I made Bud Light. So on the down front, I made Bud Light.
How much
a lot of beer to drink for the next couple of
how
weeks.
What did you use to put in? What did you actually add?
I used the regular, and here's a weird thing. I made a amber mix. So like it was, the wort itself was very brown, so it looked like it was going to come out like an amber beer. And then I added brown sugar and honey.
How much brown sugar and honey?
It was like a half a cup of each.
Half a cup of each. Okay.
Yeah. So okay. With it being a half a cup of each, you even said, oh, that's going to be super, super sweet. I'm like, okay, well, we'll see how it turns out. It's not sweet at all. Like the thing it's lacking is taste, in my opinion. Like I said, I think I made Bud Light.
Okay. And did you just it was just one batch, right?
Yeah, just one batch.
Two and a half gallons?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. I don't hate it. It doesn't taste bad at all. It's just that I wanted more flavor, maybe something a little more robust in the
Well, it's
in
not
the
your first time and you took it out like a week early or like whatever, right?
Well, no, it's still, I mean, I just opened up one beer. Just to kind of get a taste test. I'm probably going to let it stew for another 2 weeks, though, see if the conditioning, the cold conditioning maybe, like, soothes out the taste or something like that or brings something out of it. Probably not, but I'm just going to let it wait a little longer. But not bad, I'll probably change some things around on my next batch. But that's it for me, Jeffrey.
Hi.
Yo.
What? Not much has been up, man. Oh, I got a 3DS.
wait,
again.
What? I just registered.
Yeah.
What games did you get with it?
Yeah, I got Mario 3D Land.
Okay.
Only
this is
Mario
the one that
today.
you got for like $90 though, right?
Yeah, the only reason I got it is because Crayman, a good friend of the show, he already had a 3DS and he won a promo code through, I guess, some website. And it was for a promo code for an electronics store here in Canada, Future Shop, which is basically, they're owned by Best Buy. They're like a Best Buy, pretty much. And the code basically got you a 3DS for $99.99. This is the thing, like, at first I was like, okay, well, I might use it, I don't know, we'll see. I don't really don't want to spend $150 on, like, a couple games or a game in the system again, considering I already had one a few months back.
Sounding very familiar for some reason.
I know,
what I don't get though is that you put a pre-order out on the Vita, right?
No, I didn't.
I thought you did.
No. He's got this thing called willpower that I obviously don't.
Yeah, which I don't... If I do not buy a Vita, I'm going to be extremely happy with myself. The thing is, I give myself a one-month period. Like, if I don't buy it day one, that's not really saying much, because technically I could have got one today. Like, the GameStop close to my work still had some of the first edition bundles there. But I was like, nope, can't do it. But I have a plan, which I'll get to in a second, which I might go
through. How does that plan go, seeing that, you know, in a week, Chris and I, the next time we talk, Chris and I will both have it?
Well, this is the thing. So I saw online, and
this is
Crayman,
the plan. This is the grand plan.
Yeah, Crayman right gave me the he gave me the heads up. He's like, oh, also, if you want to, you can pre-order the new color DS that's coming out, and you get either Mario Kart 7 or Mario Land 3D for free, but you have to pre-order it, and the code still works. So that means I'll get a 3DS and the game for $99. So I was like, that's awesome. Now here's the thing: the 3DS is pink. Now, I really don't have a problem with it. It came in today. It's a sexy pink, and I really don't wouldn't really care if I.
What kind of pink is it, Jeff?
It's it's not quite
is
that.
Is there any specific type of pink?
No, it's a cotton candy pink.
Ooh, okay, I like cotton candy.
Okay, so it's a decent color pink, but.
You should take a picture of yourself licking it and then put it online. There you go.
Hey, and you and then in a couple of
years, I'll become famous. That'll be a Mass Effect.
That's right.
You can be a Mass Effect 4.
And then bitch about how female gaming journalists are portrayed as being sex figures and icons and stuff. Yeah, you know, that's how it works.
Chris, did you say whores?
I did.
I
didn't realize that all female gaming journalists were whores.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
She complains that they're portrayed as such.
Oh,
okay. Oh, yeah, I got you.
Well, it's true. It's true. It's true.
But yeah, so I was sitting here, and as much as I'd love to say I have no problem playing a pink DS in public, I actually thought about it. I'm like, it's Toronto, and then I was like, well, I don't really play. Yeah, I'm like, I don't really play. Actually, if Toronto should be, like, people probably wouldn't even fucking look twice at it, and it's a nice looking pink. But anyway.
So you go to San Francisco, you're the most popular guy on the train.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm getting hit on right, left, and center.
That's right.
So I got it sitting here with the game, and this was my original plan. Because they're not opened, to take them to, like, a Walmart or an EB Games or somewhere, basically say it was a gift that I already have one, and exchange it, so not, like, trade it and not get my money back, but put it towards a Vita, because even though I only paid $100, I'd be getting over $200 worth of, like, credit to wherever I brought it back for to exchange it. So that plus some other gift cards I have would easily cover a Vita and probably, like, a game. But then today, when I went to GameStop, seeing the Vita there, and I was like, oh, it's still sexy, I was like, what game would I actually get with the Vita right now? And there's not a single one I could pick out. I was like, the ones that I would play are ones I can get on a console for, like, cheaper or, like, you know, play on my PS3 or my 360. So I think I might keep it. If anything, I might bring back the 3DS itself and just exchange it for a different color, maybe. But something inside me telling me no, because it's a good-looking pink. It is. I just...
Dog, you are in denial.
No, it really is.
Serious denial.
I would
have
been all
over.
Okay,
let me lay it down for you. Let me give you the example. Let me see. Let me let you know what you're letting Chris and I and then the rest of the Indus Nation hear, okay?
All right.
I do not want to get a PS Vita because I don't want to get the games that are out because I can get these other games on my console.
Or I already have them, yeah.
Whatever. Okay, whatever the case may be. And on the bright side, I have a pink 3DS. You're in denial.
Now rewind back a couple weeks ago. I sold my 3DS because there's no games I wanted to play, and then I totally forgot about all the good games that came out for recently. And Mario 3DS 3D Land is one game I really want to play, say with Mario Kart 7.
Okay.
So it would be like, I really want to play this game that's sitting right here, so would I want to trade that stuff in to get something that would be... I'd be in the same situation I was in when I first bought the 3DS with the Vita. I would love the hell out of the system, but be like,
okay,
it's just sitting
here. We are on episode 218.
Yes.
I will be more than happy, and I'm sure Chris will too, to speak to you on 219 about Mario Kart. I mean, about Mario. But let's see by 220 if you're still talking about Mario Land.
Okay, I don't see the point of that.
Because the reason is, because I want your denial to shoot you in the face while Chris and I are playing sexy ass.
Well, there's no denial, because I could easily do it. I could easily go to Walmart and do it. Like, they don't care. As long as it's not open, they don't really care about receipts. But the thing is, I'm actually thinking logically here, not being like, oh, sexy hardware versus games I want to play.
It is. But, it is. Okay, 2012. So you just
Jeff,
need to fucking do it.
I am down for whatever you do because I think. I mean, there's always advantages to having both, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So you want to play Mario. So you're complaining about you're not complaining, but you're saying that the reason you don't want to get the Vita is because most of the games are basically games you already have on another system.
Yes.
And you're playing Mario and Mario Kart.
But I can't play Mario 3D Land on anything else.
You can't play Uncharted Golden Abyss on anything else.
I really don't care about playing Uncharted Golden Abyss. I am Uncharted out, dude.
That's my point, though. I mean, that's what I'm getting at. It's like Mario. Okay, don't get me wrong. Mario 3D Land is a really good game. The Galaxy games are better. Just saying.
Yeah, they're a lot better. And also on top of this, Jeff, you also gave up your PSP, or you can't find it.
No, I have found it. I still have it.
Oh, you still have it?
Yeah.
You still have games for it?
I got God of War, and I think I might have Luminous somewhere.
Okay, that there goes my argument. Never mind.
I will say this though. I don't blame you, and I honestly think that you will be disappointed if you did get it, because of the fact that you just don't play portable games.
That's the thing. It's like,
and I blame you, and I think you are gonna regret it.
I don't think so. I think
well, that's because you're a dick.
I'm gonna have one eventually, and I think the game is gonna put me over because it's gonna be me sounding hypocritical again. Is gonna be Street Fighter Cross Tekken because I'm gonna have that on my PS3 and 360. My reasoning is, if that game's gonna be as good as it is on the Vita, I'm one of those guys who thinks about combos and shit all the time when I'm into a fighter, like at work, like when I'm laying in bed, and I'm thinking, man, I should try this and see if this is gonna work out. And if I can get that on a Vita, I can do that anytime I want to. I could be at work being like, ooh, I just thought of a cool combo idea. All right, try it right away. And as dumb as that may sound, that might put me over the edge to get a Vita. Like,
the one thing I'll
I'm
say
guessing
is that
it comes out end of March or April or something.
The one thing I'll say is that they were talking about, well, I mean, one of the things that we've been saying about the Vita for a while is that it'd be great that if they had a game that came out on both PS3 and Vita, that they had some kind of like combination deal. It seems like they're trying to do that type of thing. Like, if you own, right now they're saying if you own Wipeout, the Fury, the Wipeout HD Fury pack, that you will have the ability, if you get Wipeout 2048, you'll have the ability to download that for Vita for free.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And stuff like that. So I'm really hoping that they continue that trend. And we're just kind of jumping into shit now. I'm really hoping that they continue that trend because that's what I wanted to see. I mean, they really need to do everything they can to say, hey, you have a PS3, a Vita is going to make your experience that much more interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they need to do.
And leading by example is going to be really, really huge because there is a lot of negative press in terms of like this information coming from analysts and, you know, especially across the pond in Japan saying that, oh, it's already failing. It's not doing well. Of course, it's way too early for people to be saying this and actually, you know, making sense of what they're saying. But, you know, Sony just needs to like not worry about these claims, not worry about these analysts and just lead by example and say, this is how you do a portable system. And I'm hoping they do it, man. Cause I mean, they have the resources. They have the marketing, they have the technology. I think they can make a.
I don't think they have the marketing at all.
Well, they're
if somebody's proved
trying.
One thing in the past 5 years, it's that they do not have marketing.
Yeah,
what?
They're apparently trying. They're trying.
What do you mean? What? Really?
You're going to say Sony can't market stuff, especially in the
they
past
can't
couple
market
years?
Shit, we're
in
shit,
the last
dude.
Couple of years, Sony cannot market stuff.
No.
I think their marketing has been the strongest it's ever been in the last year or two.
Which is like saying it's the, you know, best smelling curd out of the pile.
No, that, like, really? That is not saying that. You're going to sit here and tell me that their marketing has not been the best. What are you talking about?
How did the relaunch of PSP do when they did the Go and they had that Marcus guy up in their thing? And their commercials.
The only marketing.
So you're
going to
sit here and tell me that their marketing is not good right now.
The only marketing that they did that was good for the PlayStation was, what's his name?
Kevin Butler.
That was it.
Yeah. That was it. That's all they've done. And the only thing, we've seen PS3 sell fine, but I can't think of a single thing. Like, if you're talking about marketing, they have good commercials, yes, I love the one that they have all the people, all the different characters and stuff like that, okay. But that does nothing for a casual market at all. Like, that didn't help anything to do with Sony. It was like a good, like, hey, what's up, guys, who are already gamers. This is awesome, right? Yeah, it is awesome. But that's not good marketing.
What about the casual market, though? Because I haven't seen, I mean, I think Sony's on the verge of just completely... not completely disavowing the casual market, but starting to step back into the light of, okay, we're back into the hardcore games only.
Where are we going with this, by the way?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
Just a tangent. Well, that's what they shouldn't be doing.
I mean, we're still
that's
in introductions,
gonna,
and we're going into serious hardcore marketing conversations. Hey, you guys want to talk about marketing next week? We could do that.
We probably should, because I could talk forever.
Question of the week.
I'm sorry.
But the most important thing, though, really, to finish this off, Chris, how are you doing?
I am doing I'm doing pretty well.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
You ready for your Vita?
Yeah, actually, next week. I'm very much looking forward to that.
I got to tell you what, it is so much harder to wait for the Vita now that it's paid off. When it's paid off, I'm like, oh, my God.
No, let me give you an example of what I'm doing with this. I mean, I'm being patient. That's what I said I was going to do. So I originally, like the day that they put it up on Amazon, I got the Wi-Fi version. Okay. Pre-ordered that. It's like, perfect. You know, I know I'm going to get a Vita. Then they put up the first edition bundle. I'm like, that looks like a pretty good deal. And I changed my pre-order to that. Then they started showing that like the memory card that came with it was 20 and Little Deviance was 30. And I thought both of them were going to be $10 more. So then it wasn't as good of a deal. So I went back and pre-ordered the Wi-Fi again. Okay. Right. And then they did the whole 3G launch bundle thing and I switched it to the 3G launch bundle. So I've had four different pre-orders for the Vita and now it's out and I'm waiting. It's like, what the fuck is going on? But, yeah, I mean, I actually already got Uncharted and, Wipeout in the mail.
Right.
I'm going to head out Sunday and try to get Best Buy to match Target with the buy two, get one free shit that they're doing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, I was, it's funny because, like, they were telling me, but to me, in my mind, it must be agony for you to have, like, the Vita games in your house.
Dude, like, it's
grill.
Great. I get to, did you see the Penny
that
Arcade?
That always fucking sucks.
Do you guys read Penny Arcade?
When people forward it to me, I do.
You should read the, I'll forward one to you. It was basically, God, why can't I remember his name? It's Tycho.
Tycho,
and
Gabe?
Gabe. So Gabe is holding on to Uncharted. He's like, so I got my Uncharted and I bought it and I brought it home and now I have it. And then there's Tycho sitting in the background with this blank stare and he goes, when does the Vita come out? And he goes, 7 days. And he's holding on to the game. And it's like, that's how I feel right now. It's like, I've got two games and nothing to play them on.
Yeah, I paid off my Vita, my memory card and my Uncharted. And they were like, so you want to go ahead and just pay off the stuff today? I'm like, no. I mean, yes, I want to pay it off. So you want to just like, sell them to you? Because we can sell the games. I'm like, no, I do not want those in my house.
Yeah.
At all. Just hold them. Put my name on them. Hold them. I don't want those in my site.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Play Uncharted 3 and Wipeout HD until it gets there. There you go. Boom.
No, I'm gonna play Reckoning until it gets here.
Hey, you can do that too.
But yeah, I mean, that's, I guess I should say it's being announced now since, number 2 is on the way. We are having
you
our
take a break?
The deuce.
The deuce.
You want to take a break or like come back 5 minutes?
Fuck you both, man. So as Crystal announced yesterday on Facebook, she's pregnant again. So we are expecting our second child.
Congratulations!
And
sir.
That will be he's due end of August, early September, that kind of thing. So
are we gonna is Shino number 3 gonna?
Not gonna happen.
Is it going to be on my birthday?
Not going to happen.
No, I'm talking about Shino. You're Shino 1. Liam's Shino 2.
Oh, okay.
Shino 3.
When is your birthday?
August 23rd. Let's make this happen.
I think her due date is like the 27th.
Oh.
So if he's early,
5 days
then
premature.
Maybe.
I'm rooting on it.
Well, Crystal would appreciate that more than going into September. I can tell you that for now for sure.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, so that's really exciting. She's about, I think she's 12 to 13 weeks right now. We just got the ultrasound that where they can try and figure out if the risk of him having Down syndrome and that kind of thing. So a bunch of different tests that can, that they can determine the likelihood of certain disabilities and that kind of thing. So, should be getting on the results of that. And then, figure about 6 weeks, we're going to figure out the sex.
Is that how you got the baby?
Why did I know that was going to come from one of you two?
Right. Well, we were casting lots of who's going to make the joke earlier before we recorded.
I won at Rochambeau.
He won. So. He's really good at that, man. He's really
so
good.
So easy with the internet lag.
But yeah, so we're calling him he right now because, you know. Because
you don't know?
Well, yeah, we don't know. So we're calling him he because, you know, we don't really have a preference and, you know, we just want him to be healthy.
Don't have preference. What do you want? Oh, we'll just call him he for now. No, we'll just call him he.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. No, actually, we already have a boy, so we're kind of sort of leaning towards a girl. We'd rather have a girl. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we're not going to be disappointed if we have another boy, so.
Well, I hope not.
Of course not.
You don't want a girl.
Son of a bitch.
Man, think about like 16
when he's
years
like 18,
in the future.
We're actually hoping you would be a girl.
Thinking about like 16 years in the future, man, you don't want a girl.
16 years in the future.
Yeah, yeah, God, yeah. No,
yeah,
16,
dude, you don't want
a
girl. Because when you have boys, you just only have to worry about one penis. When you have a girl, you have to worry about all
every
the penises.
Every single penis.
Yeah. I'm aware. I'm aware.
Let's go, boy. I'm rooting boy. Boy.
I will not be upset if we have another boy. That is for sure. Because I am having a great time with Liam. So, but yeah, that's about it for me. I mean, what else do I need to talk about? Because we're having another kid. I mean, that pretty much wraps up my entire week. So let's talk about some games. Let's get into it without like bashing Jeff for not getting a Vita on launch day. Travis, let's tone that down a little bit. We don't need to do that. Jeff, why don't you start with the games, man? What's up?
Oh, man, I've been playing some Amalur. We'll talk about that later because I'm sure that's going to be a little bit of probably the biggest one we talk about. Well, actually, no, it won't be the biggest one we talk about.
No.
Okay, let's jump into Amalur. Actually, no, let's get the other ones, easy ones out of the way first.
God damn it, Jeff, make up your mind.
Speaking of, man, making up my mind, I've had the worst gamer ADD this entire week. I've played, like, everything for a little amount of time. Like, yesterday I played, like, four games. I played some Amalur, wasn't in the mood, so I was like, I'll play something else. I threw in Rage. Played that for about 10 minutes. Tucked it out, I was like, I'm gonna play some Crysis. No, not in the mood for this either. I'm gonna play some Darksiders. Played Darksiders for, like, 10 minutes. Like, I don't wanna really play Darksiders either. Oh, Bayonetta. Play some Bayonetta. Watched the intro, was like, yeah, I'm not really in the mood for Bayonetta. And I literally did this for about 45 minutes. And I'm like, actually, it was more like an hour. I'm like, I don't even want, I'm like, you know what, I'll play some Street Fighter. Just to, like, do some combos. But I'm like, no. I got my stick out and was like, nah, I don't want to play Street Fighter. So, I do what I usually do is I start looking through my Xbox Live Arcade games. Just be like, nah, there's a bunch of shit on here I haven't beat yet, but I don't want to play anything. So I'm like, fuck it, maybe I'm just not going to game tonight. So I turn on my PS3, because for some reason, it's like ingrained in my head, I have to do gaming when I have free time, because it's like, there's not a lot of it. So I'm like, okay, put on my PS3. I'm like, let's go through my PS3 games. So I'm like, Dead Nation. It's better cool. I'm not going to play it. Keep going down. Shank! Fuck that game.
Fuck that game.
Down. I'm like, oh, Twisted Metal demo. Fuck that game. And then I finally got to Wipeout HD, and I'm like, oh, I haven't played this in forever. So I threw on Fury, because I have the Fury. And I ended up playing that for like an hour and like 20 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, just doing, because I had my, have it on my new PS3, because I switched to my new, the Slim's now in the main room. So I didn't have any saves on it. So I basically started from the beginning. And I literally played for like an hour and a bit. And I'm like, wow, this game is pretty fucking awesome still. I love it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hint at anything, but playing that game on the toilet sounds really cool, Jeff.
Dude, once I read that it was sub or 30 frames and sub, I was like, not playing it. That game needs 60
man,
frames.
No, seriously, everyone is saying you can't tell the difference.
Dude.
Because it moves so fast, you can't tell the difference.
Not according to the reviews, man. Like IGN's review or like games or Giant Bombs. Like everyone says that it sucks that it runs at 30 frames. They say it does move fast. But it's, you know, it's not the same. I mean, that game needs 60. But, I mean, that's not the problem. The big problem with me, I see, is they added in a lot of stuff to the background, and it looks really, what's the word?
Cluttered?
Yeah, I guess kind of cluttered. Like, because you're going so fast in that game, you kind of have to see where the track is turning. And you can't really tell from videos of the one on Vita, but from all the comment, like, the reviewers say that what is a problem. It basically comes down to just track memorization. But, I mean, that's not really a big deal. That's kind of the same in every racing game. Like, I mean, once you got the track memorized, it's not really an issue. But, yeah. I mean, I played Pulse and, what was the other one on PSP? Pure.
Yeah.
If anything, that's the one game I really regret trading in for PSP, because I'd still play that. Even though that was also, 30 frames. But, you know, it's doable. And yes, I know it would be pretty good on a Vita, actually. On the toilet. But, you know. That game's fun. I want to play that online again. We should do like just have one random night play some Wipeout HD or Fury.
I think
the Vita one, because we talked about it earlier, how you, if you have Fury, you get it for the Vita. Now, is that available day one? You can download that?
I
read it today. I thought the download was available.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought so.
Because that would be pretty damn cool. And maybe that one does run in 60 frames. Who knows, right? Because it's not going to have all the extra stuff in the background and the extra effects that the Vita one has. So maybe that one would. Who knows? But apparently you can play on Vita versus PS3. So that'd be pretty badass.
Yep, that would be cool. I'm looking forward to trying that out.
That game's awesome. So good. And it still looks so pretty. Basic, but pretty. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Do we want to talk about Amalur now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Go ahead. Amalur.
With my ADD, I've been finding with that game now, I still love it. It's the combat that's really keeping me playing. Like, I find in between the combat parts, I'm kind of getting bored with. So now I'm just finding getting quests, and even when I'm doing quests, if it's not the main quest, I skip dialogue. I just quickly kind of read it, skip it, read it, skip it, read it. Alright, put the circle up on map, cool. Fast travel as close as I can to that part, do what I need to do, fast travel back. Skip dialogue.
Yeah, but you kind of gotta do that, man. It's like the one thing that gets me about it is like everybody that you talk to has something to say about everything.
I don't even bother asking them.
Yeah, it's like I just want to just tell me what I need to know and let me go. You know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it's really cool that they built in that much lore, but you know, it's overboard. Really?
Yeah, it's too much. And for me, like, I'll just tell you straight up, I'm done playing it. I can't play it anymore. Like the combat only carried me so much. Only so much. Like the one thing that was really getting me, because I enjoy the combat, it's fun, it's really well done. But the thing that was really carrying me was at first they quickly throw a lot of different enemies at you, like big, small, different powers, some humans with magic and everything. So you have to like, you know, change up your style and everything. But like 10-15 hours into the storyline, like that stopped for me, and I was like, and I know later on in the game, I'm sure it pops back up and everything, but like the gaps in the time where you like, you know, came across a new different type of enemy that you have to learn how they move and everything, because every enemy is different, every enemy has different AI and they have different powers and everything. So when you get a new enemy, it's like, oh my god, okay, now it's time to learn how these guys fight, and it's really cool, and I really dug that. But like I said, about 15 hours into it, I just saw that gap just widened and widened and widened, and I just got a lot less variety of enemies. And then the combat just completely fickled out, up to the point where I was trying different, like I was respecking and trying like finesse and everything, and I was just so used to using, you know, a two-handed sword and chakrams that it just died out for me, completely just petered out. So I don't know.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. Because I love the game at first, because it took me a while to get into it through the demo, because it took me like 3 shots at the demo for me to say, okay, day one. But then it got to the point where it just petered out really, really strong, man. And like I said, it has to do with just, you know, going back to the Fable, you know, the Fable example is that game has that whimsy, that type of air to it where you're like, I just like being in this world.
It's like kind of lighthearted but serious. It's kind of...
Well, yeah, I just... The world felt like there was just life in it. Like, I don't know, there was something about it. There was a breath of life into that world. And I just don't get that from Amalur whatsoever. I think every character, except for maybe one or two, are completely bland.
They are kind of...
They could just be blocks of pixels and it wouldn't matter a thing because there's just no life in those characters. Whereas, you know, like to this day, you know, Megan and I still like get some really goofy British accents and say quotes from Fable 2. It sticks with you. You know, some of those things, because there's so many cool things in that game in terms of the script and the voice acting, and to me, that's not there.
See, that's the exact opposite to me. Like Fable, I can't think of anything, like especially game-wise, totally out of my brain. But yeah, like I mean, I think it was definitely written better, and it's honestly the combat and the gameplay that still keep me playing Amalur, and I still am gonna play it. I just had like a little thing yesterday where I just wasn't in the mood, but yeah, story I can pretty much throw like I'm just not really that interested in it. But I love the combat. I think it's because the fact that I'm leveling up kind of quickly, and I keep when you upgrade your powers, you can do so much cooler shit and chain together so much cooler stuff, and just like even though enemy types are definitely very like you said, I'm not sure. I'm about 20 hours in and I haven't seen too much new things, but just fighting them with different stuff that I have is just so, I don't know, satisfying to me.
Yeah, for me, it's that loot grab aspect. I mean, this is, I am, you know, one of the games that I compared this to when we first started talking about it was PSO, and that's really what it feels like, because now it's like every time I, you know, it's like, oh, look, some more loot, and that's what it's all about right now. It's like, and I am actually doing the thing where it's like, oh, look, my inventory's full. Let me leave the dungeon, go back, sell stuff, and come back, you know? And You know, it's,
oh, you actually go back and sell stuff.
Yeah, because it's getting me a ton of money, man. And I've been going to trainers like crazy. It's like every trainer I run into, I've been buying a skill point. So, you know, I've spent, God, I think I've bought 5 skill points so far. And
are you finding stuff that's in your class? So, like, I'm playing Finesse and Sorcery, and I can't find armor with Finesse that's better than what I've had for, like I've been making my own. I've been like, fuck it, I'm just going to put a bunch of points in Blacksmithing. I have Blacksmithing almost up to the entire second level filled. And I'm just making way better armor than I'm finding. But the problem is, it all kind of looks the same because you need to find better looking armor so you can break it down to make that same kind of armor better.
Right, right.
So I can't find anything with Finesse.
Well, I was reading in some reviews about blacksmithing that when you get it leveled all the way up to the third tier and
you start making
last
shit
one,
that's just crazy.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate armor in the game. Like, the best armor in the game, the way to get it is via blacksmithing. That's the only way to get the best armor in the game.
But that's the thing, though. How do you do it? Because, and this is different than, because in Skyrim, when you get your blacksmith up, you can automatically make dragon armor or dragon scale armor or glass armor, just finding things. Well, the thing is, this is different because you can't find all
It's all
the
about
things.
The ingredients.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't find the ingredients to make different looking armor unless you have that armor already and break it down. Right. And then that gives you that ingredient.
Well, it doesn't
Not
have to
necessarily.
Be that armor.
It also has to do with the grind. It also has to do with the grind too, Chris, because like, you know, you can break down other armors too, but there's, once you level up certain perks and everything, cause of course, like every notched level in blacksmithing or any of those skills that have like the looks like Japanese engraving on it, those are milestones. And, a couple of those milestones, they allow you to, like find more rare stuff just laying around and you can pick them up through, you know, via, cause I was finding for my double handed, for my great swords, I was finding some rare blades, like just the broken blade parts of the pieces for blacksmithing. I was finding those off of random mobs. Like by the time I stopped playing, the best sword I made, the blade itself came from a random drop. You know,
to me,
in my opinion, it's all about the grind, like going around finding and detect hidden is a big part of that because you need to find all the stuff. You need to find all the secret stuff that's laying around and everything. They go hand in hand really well. And also, especially when blacksmithing, your sagecraft has got to be super high too because you need to, you know, take all your, cause you can get overwhelmed with cloudy shards that really don't do much like later, like 15 hours into the game, but you can get your sagecraft built up to where you can take your, you know, 2 cloudy shards and you can combine those into like a clear shard and 2 clear shards into like, you know, the lambit shards. So you have to have a high sagecraft too, especially to build like the really, really uber ultimate weapons and armor. So you kind of have
to. Oh,
sure.
I'm not even worried about the uber upper. I'm just saying my armor just all look the same. I haven't been able to find any that's like different looking, I guess.
Yeah, to answer your question, sometimes. Yeah, I've found some good things that drop, like, you know, they're in chests, you know, that kind of thing. But I mean, I haven't smithed anything yet, and I'm doing fine. So, I guess for me, it's all, you know, right now for me, it's about the combat, and you know, I enjoy going on the different quests. You know, I enjoy.
I couldn't care less about the actual going quest part anymore.
Yeah, I don't.
It's not like Skyrim. There's no Radiant stuff, right? Like, there's no. At first, I was just walking everywhere, but there's nothing. Nothing happens in that world outside of what's supposed to be there.
No.
So it's not like Skyrim where it's like, oh, I might find a dragon, or I might see
you don't
fucking
have that.
Hoodlum beating the piss out of some, like, you know.
Yeah,
whatever.
I mean, there's no doubt that that Skyrim is, you know, a much more living world, much more of a living world.
Oh, yeah.
Because this one's kind of, you know, it's kind of there, and you know, the enemies spawn in the same spot all the time.
Yeah, that's
kind of thing.
But I honestly will say the combat, I think, is way more enjoyable.
Oh, hell yeah! Than Skyrim. Oh, hell yeah! Absolutely.
By exponential amount of better.
Yeah, I agree. I've been sticking to my sorcery line. I've got
pure sorcery.
Well, I'm not pure sorcery, but I only have I've got like 30 something points in sorcery and like maybe 12 or 13 in finesse.
Okay. I was wondering how you're only level 14, dude, cuz how many hours have you put into it?
Not as much as you'd think. Okay. Probably about the same as what Travis said, maybe 15.
Okay. So. For some reason, I thought you were way higher than that. I'm like, it's not like Skyrim because you actually get experience for like killing shit and stuff and like doing quests.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how am I like level like 18 or 19? And I thought you've put way more hours in that.
No, I don't have the time to put into it. So, I mean, I am right on that edge. It's like I could have gone on in one more dungeon, killed two things, and leveled up to level 15. But yeah, I didn't get to do that. By the time I shut it off yesterday, it was like, oh look, it's 11:30. I really need to go to bed. So. But you know, I'm putting my time in when I can, and I'm still enjoying the shit out of it. I've just got these goals in my head about trying to get my character, get the skills up as high as they can go and make sure to take advantage of all the trainers and stuff like that. And, you know, find skill books, you know, skill books and just exploring the world and looking for stuff. And, you know, I enjoy that kind of shit. That's what I'm into.
That's where we're different. Like, fuck.
Yeah, you just want to run through and kill shit. I'm like...
I just love the fighting in it. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That's why I can't wait for Darksiders 2, because it's going to have combat like that and be a little bit less RPG-ish.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it for me, though, man. If we're done with Amalur, that's... I mean, of course, Street Fighter, but that's just, you know, every week, so...
All right, Travis.
Let's see. I've been jumping into a lot of Madden. I don't know. Just started a franchise I wanted to play. I always do this, though, when the football season ends. I jump into Madden and play, like, maybe one full season in a franchise just to, like, you know, fill that gap. Big news. Of course, the 1.4 patch for Skyrim released. I don't know if I brought this up last week.
You
but,
did. And it fixed
I did.
Your
okay,
problem.
Okay, yeah. So I beat it finally. Beat okay, yeah. So it that's it for me. Chris, what have you been playing?
Fantastic. All right. So we talked about Amalur already.
not Uncharted, Golden Abyss, and Wipeout.
That's right. Not Vita. That's for sure. Yeah. No, but I have, I did pop in, Monster Tale for DS.
Okay. So how was that? Didn't you get that from me?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, I think so.
Excuse me. But I popped that in. I probably put like maybe 1 or 2 hours into it. But yeah, so far it's pretty standard fare Metroidvania, which means I love it. So, you know, so far it's pretty interesting. I haven't gotten
far. Sorry, what game is this?
It's Monster Tale for DS.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of a sleeper hit. You know, not many people knew about it, but, it was put out by Majesco. And they did a good job. You know, it's got pretty good, you know, the visually it's got a really cool style, good animation. And basically you get, you know, I've only gotten one so far, but you get these little monsters that help you out in your quest to get back to your world. You get like shifted to a different dimension and you're, you know, a human in the monster dimension, and like every other human that ever comes to the monster dimension tries to take over the place. And, you know, and you're just trying to, you originally start out trying to get back to where you're from, and, you know, you go on from there and you meet your first little monster and he can evolve. And it's like a Metroidvania crossed with a little bit of Pokemon. So it's interesting, but, yeah, it's an interesting way to use both screens as well, because the monster that you're using will stay in the bottom screen, which is like his sanctuary. And that's, you know, he can go down there and heal and get life back and stuff like that. And then you can bring him up onto the top screen and he can turn gears for you and help you fight monsters and stuff like that. And then there will actually be like rooms that you move into where, there will be interaction in the bottom screen with the sanctuary. So you send the monster down there and he'll interact with stuff at the bottom screen. But it's an interesting take on like the Metroidvania formula and an interesting way of using both screens to do it. So yeah, enjoying the hell out of it. I'm looking forward to getting back to it, but, yeah, really that's it. I mean, Puzzle Quest and then, you know, what we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
So,
ME3 demo.
Let's talk about the Mass Effect 3 demo.
Yeah, let's do that.
So DOTY.
This
I love it.
Ooh. Okay.
This
I guess
I might be jumping on the Jeff train.
Yeah.
No, so, I'm just being crazy. Go ahead.
It starts out, I mean, the demo starts out with you at the very beginning of the game, it seems. It's like the introduction
of
the game.
Yeah, it seems like the very beginning.
And you know, they get you, you know, accustomed to you know, the controls again and stuff like that and have a lead up in the story.
I love how Anderson's like, okay, now reload. Now shoot. You're like, dude,
yeah.
I'm Shepard.
I'm fucking Shepard, dick.
Go pick up that ammo over there. Oh, yeah, oh, really? Is that what you wanted me to do?
I know they have to, you know, teach people how to play whatever demo and in the game, but come on. Come on. come on, Anderson.
But so after you get through that, because it's and I was actually really surprised because so I'm not concerned about spoiling a demo, but at the end of like the first portion, yeah. It's like as you're going through it, you run into this kid.
That's,
yeah. And you basically say, well, you know, come with me and I will get you to safety. And yeah. The kid like takes off in an air vent. And you continue through, and when you get to the very end and you're about to get back on the Normandy, you see the kid again, and he jumps in the shuttle. And I'm thinking, all right, well, good. The kid is safe. He jumped in the shuttle. And then the Reapers take the shuttle out. So they kill the kid. I'm like, yeah. Fucking crazy, man.
That's the best part
man.
Of the demo, in my opinion.
And the funny thing is, it's like they give you somehow, I don't know how they did it, but somehow in the like 15 seconds that I saw this kid, I got semi-emotionally attached to him.
That's why I said it's the best part of, I think, the demo. And honestly, like, that's one of the, I didn't get choked up or nothing, but I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, but you kind of drop your jaw and you're like,
yeah, exactly.
They went there.
Yeah.
You know, they went there.
The demo's pretty good.
I mean, I was impressed with it. I thought it was a really strong moment in the game. And it's only like 5 minutes, well, it's not 5 minutes, but it's only like 20 minutes into the game.
Yeah. Yeah, they that was actually the exact demo that they showed us at Pound Vegas that I was telling you guys where, you know, they dimmed the lights and they showed that demo. And then after the kid died, they brought the lights up and
silence, I'm sure.
A woman was escorted out because she was crying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. Yeah.
That wasn't a plant or nothing? Like,
No, that was a...
Pretend you're crying.
It was an employee. Yeah, it was definitely an employee. But no, it was really good, man. I mean, I enjoyed the heck out of it. I mean, I will say though, I'm not going to look at it with rose-tinted goggles. I mean, it's Mass Effect. Like, there's no.
It's very much so Mass Effect.
It's Mass Effect for sure. Like, and there's really no, in terms of the gameplay. I found aside from the super melee, there's really no difference at all.
Which is really cool. Can we say that? That shit's really
super
cool.
Melee, yeah. I can't wait to get that blade thing. That's even going to make it even better. But
well, no, that's.
The blade thing's a part of it, aren't
it? Yeah, it's a part of it.
It comes out and it attacks.
Really?
Yeah, if you hold down the melee button, he like charges at them, whips out the blade, and just slashes at them.
Okay,
I'm curious if that is upgradable.
It was more of like a big, like, it was basically like a harder melee with a blue explosion kind of thing at the end of it.
Maybe it's different for
the classes.
So you were running at
somebody. Maybe it's different
hit,
for a class. What class did you pick?
I picked Vanguard in one playthrough, and the second playthrough I picked Adept, I think.
Okay. I did Soldier, and there was no like blue stuff. It was just the blade, and he attacks.
Yeah, I picked the Sentinel.
I'll have to do that again then.
I picked the Sentinel, and the Omni Tool morphed, and that's what the super melee attack was.
Right.
So
shit.
But the one big difference. I mean, did you guys play on the other, I guess you can call them difficulty levels, did you guys stick the role play?
I stuck to role playing.
I did too, and I was actually quite surprised that because it said it's the classic Mass Effect experience, but I was super surprised at the super generous aim assist.
I didn't notice.
I didn't notice it either.
No. Wow. Yeah.
I figured it was the same. Well, I just
Go back and focus on the shooting. Like play through the demo again and focus on the shooting. The aim assist is like, whew. Like I was at the point where I was playing. I'm like, wow, I wasn't even aiming at that guy and it went right to his head. Like it's very, very, very generous.
Hmm. All right. Well, I'm okay with that though.
And it does look better, mostly in regards to lighting effects and explosions and stuff.
Yeah. The darks are darker.
Yeah. There's definitely got some like god rays and stuff going on and better reflections, but it still looks like to me like Mass Effect 2. It's not like the jump 1 to 2 was. That's for
no,
sure.
No, and that's what I was going to mention. It's like it's like Mass Effect is going through the same thing. It's going over the same hurdle that Uncharted did. It's like there was such a jump from 1 to 2, and now the jump from 2 to 3 isn't quite as much. So. Mm-hmm. You know,
and again, I don't want people are probably going to take us the wrong way, but that doesn't mean we're any less hyped for it by any means.
That's right.
And again.
I'm still buying it day one. I will still play only it.
Yeah. No matter how good Mass Effect 3 is, if it doesn't, like, when it comes to Game of the Year stuff, we'll have to see, but I'll stick to my word. Like, if it does just what Uncharted 3 did, I'll love the hell out of it, but then be like, well, you know, it was Mass Effect.
But there was Darksiders 2, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows, right? It's impossible to even consider a Game of the Year before you even play a game, never mind beginning of the fucking year.
Right.
So, but I did enjoy it. I played through it twice. I mean,
I gotta say though, Ashley looking good.
She's got total man jaw.
What? Yeah, ever. She looks completely different.
She looks different. Completely different. I think she looks better in a good way, but I think she still looks like a man.
Nah, she's super hot. Super hot. I cannot wait to get with that.
God.
What
else? I'm trying to think of what stuff that else.
The other thing that I thought was cool was how what they did with the second part, because the second part was all about.
The Krogan thing.
Yeah, and I thought. Yeah. See, I think that was interesting because I like that piece of the story, like the history of the Krogans and how they reproduce and that kind of thing. So when they threw in the idea of a female Krogan,
she's got,
I was like,
attitude.
Yeah, and she's a badass. Man. She's like, she just takes his gun. She just takes Rex's gun and just takes out a couple guys. I was like, that's what I expected from this. You know, that's good. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the demo a lot.
I don't have Rex in my party, or in my thing. He died in my playthrough.
Oh,
that
sucks.
See
if that happens, yeah. Probably be Grunt in his place or whatever. But see, the second part of that demo, I didn't like a lot at all. It's the story part and the whole, like,
there wasn't much substance.
It was fucking go to an area, clear them out, go to a new area, clear them out, go to another area, clear them out, clear another wave out, and if you don't get to the thing in time, you gotta clear another wave out. Oh, here comes big robot thing. And then it was just like, I don't know. I don't understand why they put that part in. Maybe if they just don't want to have, because
I think they were focusing on combat for that.
Yeah, it's because the first part was still, the gameplay was mainly combat, but it was more of a tutorial. This gets you kind of like ready for it, and then they just kind of like sent you into the shit, and this gave you a full-blown combat mission. One thing it did do to hype me up for Mass Effect 3 was, you know, going through Mass Effect 2, of course, it's no surprise you are part of Cerberus for that game, because in the first game, Cerberus is kind of like a little... You know, they're bad guys in side missions, and then of course they take the front of the stage. You know, come Mass Effect 2, but you're a part of that. And then the demo lets you know that in Mass Effect 3 they are a main adversary in terms of just the main storyline.
Well, look how 2 ended. If depending on how you've ended 2, I'm guessing they're gonna go with Canon is. Well, I don't know. They're going to come after your shit.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. I mean, it got me pumped up to the fact that not only do you have to go against the Reapers and you have that to face, because, I mean, that's a gigantic, you know, task at hand in itself, but you also have, you know, Cerberus, you know, chomping at the bit too. And I never really thought about Cerberus, you know, as the hype has been going on until the demo. And then the demo hit, I'm like, oh man, I got to do it with Cerberus too? That's a big, big overtaking. So I'm really excited about what's to come with that. It's gonna be so good, man.
I'm down. I'm gonna get the Arrival now because I want to find out what happens between 2 and 3.
Yeah, Arrival's. I just downloaded Arrival, so I'm gonna play it before next week.
Yeah, you gotta know what Shepard does.
That's what I want to know, because like, they took away his like shit and everything. Of course, he gets it back in the demo, but
yeah.
I will say though, if that is the way Mass Effect 3 begins, as much as that part with the boy was definitely like touching and definitely hits you. It would have been almost impossible to top the opening of Mass Effect 2.
I agree.
Because I think that
is probably the best opening to a video game, period.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, agreed. That was awesome.
I'm hoping there's going to be at least parts like that or similar, like, whoa, my God, in 3, and I can't fucking wait. And I got 2 days off for that week because Street Fighter comes out that day too. So I have Thursday and Friday off for that. So...
Very
lots
cool.
That's a game, and can't wait. Aspects.
Agree.
Anything else, Chris? No.
No, that's it. That's it for me.
Want to run through some quick news, really quick?
Yeah. What do you got?
The last characters that are going to be on the retail version of Street Fighter Cross Tekken were officially announced, which is Ogre and Jin from the Tekken series, and Akuma and Bison from the Street Fighter series. Not too much of a surprise, really, because I'm pretty sure Bison and Akuma were in some of the trailers before these weren't officially announced on the roster. Whoopty shit. They're there.
Whoopty shit.
Mass Effect 3, we were just talking about.
We've had seen
stuff like viral marketing before and like pre-order bonuses here or there. EA is actually going to launch copies of Mass Effect 3 into space. Well, in weather balloons. It's as high as they can get anyway. Yep, before the game launches, and they're going to drop them in random areas. Couple days before release date, so
people are literally going to be waiting for that game to drop.
I, I guarantee it. They're going to see literally something like, oh my god, oh my god. Because, yeah. I want to know where this is going to land. It's going to be on top of a skyscraper or something, going to be like in the ocean, you know, like lake or something. I can see the headlines now, man.
This situation to me personally is ripe for like a Mega 64 or a Penny Arcade goof.
Yeah.
It's ripe for. Like, I'm waiting for something to come out. I'm just waiting for it.
But yeah, so I'm guessing it's not going to be all over the world. I'm probably sure there's probably going to be certain cities or maybe even one city they're going to do this in. But I guess a couple days leading up to March 6th, keep your eyes in the sky, you know?
For weather balloons.
Keep your eyes.
I got a little quick something.
Actually saw it. Usually, you know, like things like petition.org doesn't really work. People just want to air their grievances, sign their name on something, and say, hey, get this done. Usually it doesn't work and everything, but something did work recently. We never really brought this up because I think it happened around the time we recorded last time. But people were really pushing to get Radiant Historia a reprint.
A reprint, yeah.
Because Atlas, you can't find it anywhere, new or used. It's really hard to find. Well, Atlas came out and said that they're actually going to reprint the game, which is awesome. And it's awesome for you people who have not played this game.
It's not awesome for people like us that have it, because the value will go down.
The value will go down. But for me, that's a game
and
that
I wonder
I'll
how
never...
it'll do, because who signs a petition? People that already have it and are like, oh, this game's awesome, it needs a reprint, or people who want to play it who don't have the game?
I signed the petition. I'm just saying.
And you have the game.
I have the game. I think, yeah, exactly. I think more people should have that game. I'm not worried about value.
Oh, I know. No, I'm worried more about along the lines that they'll be like, oh, look at all these people who signed the petition, but how many people of those already have the game? They're just saying it's a great game.
Probably
people
the majority of them.
The
yeah,
majority,
exactly.
I would feel.
That's what I'm thinking. It'll be like kind of like a little, I guess, litmus test to see if, first time a petition actually did
Atlas
something.
Atlas prints another 100,000 copies and they sell
it. And then
four.
If they don't do anything. Yeah, exactly.
It's easily one of the better JRPGs on the system by far, and I think people should. If you have not played it, if you like role playing games in the slightest, got to get it. It's a good game.
It's good. I agree.
Cool.
Any other news?
Nothing. There's some Bethesda stuff that they knew about the PS3 Skyrim issues.
I'm still not surprised about that.
I'm not surprised either. I mean, people shouldn't bitch about it. Their reasoning was, well, listen, we knew there's a chance it could have a problem just because they said that the way that the engine was made and the way that the PS3's memory is done, is dealt with, there could be problems, but could was highlighted, and that they'd probably have a lot more people pissed off if they were to delay the game by a couple months than to patch it while people were playing it, because the amount of people were going to be so small that would have these problems.
Yeah, and in reality, I mean, you can have a good experience on the PS3 version. I mean,
exactly.
Adam North from Games Only Older is proof of that, because he played that game for like 160 Ever. Fucking hours. He got the platinum, and he said it maybe froze up on him once.
Yeah, you know? So he got lucky.
Oh yeah, I agree, but you know.
Yeah. But yeah, so not really a big deal. I mean, whatever. At least they're honest about it, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. Just hopefully they don't do it again.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that's it. There's one other thing. We'll save it for the feature though, because it's feature worthy.
Yeah, I've got one thing for the feature as well. So let's take a break then.
All right,
when we come back, we're going to talk about industry trends that should go and some that should stay. And then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
It's time to wake up. Interactive Distractions would like to publicly thank our many sponsors. Kind and caring souls such as, nobody. Really, it is fine. We will be okay on our own. Thanks anyway. If you need us, we will be turning tricks on the corner to pay our hosting fees. And now back to the show.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Thanks, sir. All right, we're going to talk about some industry trends and how much we hate them or love them, that kind of thing. So we got a few emails for this, and I do have a voicemail. So we're going to get to the voicemail later, and I'm going to pass it over to Travis to get some emails going. What's up, dude?
All right, Alex Hedges comes in and says, of the industry trends introduced this generation, which should stay and go, simple scrapping manuals for games should stop. I use those things, man. Imagine my annoyance when I popped up my copy of Biff 3, only to find a DLC code in a Mass Effect 3 promo slip and a black and white monstrosity telling me to go online and get the manual. The next thing that has to stop is Europe getting charged through the butthole, while game companies who not only make us wait for games and consoles, but also charge us way more than other territories You guys paid $250 for a launch 3DS, and I paid $345.
Oh,
that
ouch.
Is not equal pricing when you take the UK's value added tax of 20% into account. 20%? God damn.
That's, yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, you need to move, yo.
Well, no, they also don't pay for healthcare, though. So, I mean, I'm sure that...
Yeah, but neither does Jeff. Neither he doesn't pay those prices.
Yeah, so that's it for hedges. So manuals. Sucks. Where do you guys sit on the manuals?
I agree to an extent. Here's what I'm going to say about this. It's like I love having physical copies of games with everything with them. I mean, I was a big fan of like the full color, high quality manuals, things like working designs, people like that. But I understand the reasoning. And here's the reason why. It's like a lot of companies are trying to pass it off as thank you for helping us go green. Bullshit. You are doing it to save money on printing costs and manufacturing costs.
Of course.
And that's it. But if that is what keeps games prices from going up, I'm fine with it.
Yep.
I'm fine with it. I say that hesitantly because I love having that shit, but you know what? I opened up that Vita box of Uncharted, and there's nothing in there.
Nothing.
Nothing. Kingdom had nothing.
Not
either.
A thing. There's not even a fucking ad in that box, man. It's like you open it up, and there's a little bit of game card, and that is it.
That's it.
That is it.
Some companies keep it real, though. You know, like any of the Metal Gear games, you're always gonna get a nice thing in there.
Well, from what I understand, there are going to be no manuals in Vita games.
Yeah.
Every single game is going to have the manual on the card.
Right. And I see where Hedges is coming from too, though. You know, we've always for years, especially as older gamers, have always had these thick guides that come packed in the games and everything.
Especially when you got to like the era where they actually were doing like clamshell type cases or something like that, like the Genesis where you could actually store that shit.
Yeah.
But like for the NES, it's like, I don't have any of my instruction manuals for the NES.
No,
or
even Super Nintendo.
Yeah, even Super Nintendo. It's like, I don't have any of that shit.
Super Nintendo's they had like the best manuals too. They're all color back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and Genesis was too at that time, I think.
Most Genesis manuals are black and white. Unless they were like really like, unless it was like a pimping developer publisher that was putting that shit out. Even like first party Genesis games were black and white.
Hmm. Yeah. So. And with Blu-ray cases, I don't really tell as much, but like the Xbox 360 cases, even though they're still made of, you know, normal plastic DVD cases, they're a little flimsier than most things. Like, cause they use that recycled, like when you,
they
when
got,
you pull
like,
up,
holes in them.
They have the holes in them and they have the recycling symbol in there.
It seems
there
like
and
they're getting away from that though. Cause the Kingdoms of the Amalur case is not, it's not holy.
Right.
It's just thinner and it's still that flimsy material. Yeah. But it's not. It doesn't have the holes in it.
Yeah,
and
but a good example.
I kind of prefer that over the holes.
So. I just like when you take a 3D. An Xbox 360 case, and you know, you buy it, you get it in the wrapper, and you can just like kind of squeeze it, and it's just thick. It's like, oh, there's a lot of stuff in here, and to me, that's cool. Like I like that feeling of like a nice thick case. Open it up, and it's a lot of manuals in there. For me, Skyrim was a big one because you know they had even though the manual wasn't all big, it was just nice and thick. It had the map in there and everything. So, you know, little things like that. I don't know. For as a gamer, as an old school gamer, I like having that thick case of a lot of stuff in there, a lot of things to read through and everything. So
I like it. I just never read them anymore. Like
yeah,
I used to read them all the time. When I was a kid, I used to read manuals over like multiple times just for the hell of it, like for one bed because I couldn't play. But now I like the idea of having them, but I can't even remember the last time I've read through a manual. Like I really can't. And I do get pissed. Like Kingdoms of Amalur was the first one. I was like, "This literally has nothing in it." It was the online pass sheet, and that was it.
Yeah,
and
right.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, poop.
Yeah, and Ubisoft and EA are the big ones that do that. If you're getting something from EA or Ubisoft, you're gonna expect to get really nothing in there and everything. And I know when I get out the game store and I get out into the car.
Well, you read it.
While my mom is driving home. I like to read my manual. So I mean, that's
when
just
I got
the way
Mortal
I am.
Kombat 1, 2, and 3. Coming home, like the card, read the fucking manual, man, front to back.
I think the worst that I ever did was that there was, I remember this like vividly. I got the first issue of Nintendo Power, the one with Super Mario Brothers 2 on the cover, in like clay. Well, I don't know what that was about, but I got the magazine, and I couldn't get the game right away. And we went on we went to my uncle's house, who lived like 3 or 4 hours north. And I was like, you know, I'm 11. Well, wait, no, this is like when did Mario 2 come out? It was like late 80s, right? So I'm like, you know, 10 years old, whatever, and 10, 12 years old, and you know, 3 hour drive for a kid is a long time. And I actually broke out that Nintendo Power, and it had like all of the stages mapped out. And I was like pretending to play on the magazine. I was like, then you go here and then you go here.
Oh dude, I've done that. I've made fake controllers for like Super Nintendo and Genesis and practiced like Mortal Kombat fatalities and crap. and going back to, we were talking about earlier with Chris and his Vita and his games, or his games, yeah, sitting there, he can't play it. When I first got a Sega Master System, my parents got it for me, but under one condition, I had to do good on my next report card, or else I wouldn't get it. But we happened to be in a trip in the States, and it was a lot cheaper. It was like $99 for the system in the States, and it was like 200 and something in Canada. This is before the whole NAFTA thing, the free trade, so everything was way hiked up in Canada. So they got me Master System with Double Dragon, and I was allowed to read the manual for Double Dragon and look at the box and stuff. And I read that. We drove back from Florida, and I read that over and over and over again for, like, the entire, like, fucking whatever trip that was. And I had that sitting, like, they tried to hide it on me, but, of course, being a kid, you find everything. Like, they hide it in the spare bedroom closet, like, on the very top, and I would just have to get, like, a little stool thing to stand up, and I'd get that Double Dragon box out every day, read through the manual, and look at the pictures of the back of the screen, the screenshots. It was fucking torture.
Have you guys ever used the section in those really awesome manuals that had like
the notes.
Notes in the back? Yep. Have you guys ever used the notes?
Yeah, no. I only use the notes for, again, mostly fighting games that didn't have the moves and stuff in it. I don't think the Mortal Kombat ones had the fatalities, so I'd wrote some of the fatalities down in them.
Right.
And stuff like that.
I've used the notes for those things twice, and both when I was like really young. The first one was for the blood code for Mortal Kombat on the Genesis. And the second time I did it, I can't even tell you what game it was, but I was really young because my mom drove me to I think it was like a Walmart or something like that, and picked up the game. We're driving back, and I opened up the case and looked, reading through the back, and he had a pen, one of like the drink consoles and everything in our car. So I'm just going through it, and I'm just reading the book, and I distinctly remember, you know, it taking a long time to get home, and I'm like, oh my god, I want to go home and play this game so bad. So I had a pen, and I wrote one thing in the notes, and that's it. While I was sitting there in the car waiting for it to go, waiting for us to get home, and I wrote, "Mom, please drive faster." fast forward like 2 years later, I guess that manual is just sitting there, like on the floor in my room or something like that. And my mom came to me and picked it up. It's like, "What is this?" And I was like, "Oh no, we bought that game. You drove me to there to the game store." You bought me the game, and you were driving way too slow, so I wanted you to hurry up so I can play that game, and she just got a hoot out of it, so.
That's cool story.
That's a hoot.
Cool story, bro.
Cool, all right, let's do another email.
Let's do it. Nogrit comes in and says, I like Nogs. The idea of physical merchandise being able to interact with my games. In other words, I really do like what Skylanders has done. You have software that interacts with a figure to give you a character, level, or item. I could see more games using this tech, especially a game like Pokemon, where the figures could give you a Pokemon that starts with a special move that you couldn't normally get through the game. As long as the single figures or figure packs are reasonably priced and aren't required to complete the game, I don't see a problem pushing this in future titles across different IPs. Also, I like where I've seen many MMOs go, foregoing having a subscription fee. Sure, they have extras that you can pay for, as well as they have premium services for people who are willing to pay a monthly fee that offer additional character slots or inventory space. A game like MapleStory has been subscription-free since the beginning, but their cash shop has been able to provide them with that extra income that can be developing new content for their base and premium users alike. Even World of Warcraft has a semi-free-to-play business model. Imagine how many more people would play their game if they nixed the subscription fee. They still have a premium shop that people can purchase cosmetic items, mounts, and pets from, and people will and do, yet they still gain sales from their expansions and core game sales. Plus, this would kill the vast amount of private servers out there who are trying to create a similar Blizz-like experience that take away from their player base. And he says, there you have it. Keep up with the good work, show fellas. Greg Little, a.k.a. Nogric.
Thank you, Nogric.
Thanks, Nogs.
Yeah, so I was playing Skylanders before we started the second part. So I actually have a question about that for you guys. So I'm the only one who actually picked up Skylanders. What do you guys think of that?
I think it's great.
And what do you think is like a reasonable price for those figures? Let's put it that way.
I mean, it's $8 a character and then $20 for a characters pack. I don't think that's too much.
How many come in a character pack?
Three.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense. So that's
it's not bad whatsoever. And there's sales all over the place, especially during the holiday season. There, I mean, I'm talking like $2 off the single character packs, $4 off the triple packs.
I don't know where you're looking.
There's reasonable sales.
I'm trying to think of
Before they got rare and before they were like everybody was like money grabbing them to flip them on eBay. Before all that happened, because at first there was a lot of stock, a whole lot of stock, and then the game caught on. You know, for good reason. Yeah. It's a terrific game. The game caught on, and then everybody started like hogging everything, and it was hard to find.
I'm trying to think of what, like, figures and stuff like that. Like, I think for $8, the figure should be posable. At least have, like, disjointed stuff like that. Not just a fucking still hunk of plastic, basically, that you throw on your thing. Just because if you're going to make it collectible, it's cool by what I was, like, collecting when I was a kid and stuff like that. But, I mean, kids these days, I don't know what toys, if kids even play with toys these days. I don't know, do they? I don't know. What do you buy Liam, Chris? I know he's not that old, but.
Toys.
Nice.
But do they have like
good choice, Chris?
For $8, I know you're technically unlocking something that is already on the disc, but I don't know. I think they can make the characters a little bit better. Make them at least poseable. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say the figures are like pretty high quality.
Yeah, they're nice.
But they're just figures. But,
yeah.
It's a baller. It's a baller business model, though. They really struck gold with that. So many companies have come close, you know, with some really kind of like borderline great ideas. Like, you know, Eye of Judgment was a really cool idea and concept. There was something for me personally. There was just something missing with Eye of Judgment. Like, I wanted more out of that. Like, it was cool.
Like a good price.
And it just seemed kind of cheap once you put the game in motion. Like, it's like, this is a great idea.
I thought that game was really fun, but I wasn't about to spend $4 a pack for 8 cards.
Yeah, that's rough.
I mean, it was the prices of the cards were ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's like I bought like maybe one or two of the theme packs and that was it. I was done because it was just not worth buying it. And you know, you get involved with Wizards of the Coast and that's what happens. I mean, they find ways to make their cards harder to get. You know, it's like now even in Magic, now instead of getting the 15 cards you got used to get, you get 14 cards and a land. And then they gave you like, I think they put in an ultra rare rarity so that now you have common, uncommon, rare, and ultra rare. And it's like, so there's like X number of rares. And there's at least one rare in each pack. And then there's like X number of ultra rares. And there's like one ultra rare in each, in like every 10 packs.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, you know, when I was actually collecting Magic cards, it used to be you could go get like a box for really cheap when it first came out and have most of the cards. Not so much anymore. You know, it's a lot more expensive and it's a lot hard to be the kind of collector that you want to be.
Yeah, don't get me started on Wizco, man. They like since the beginning of when they first started like really like getting their hooks into, you know, the whole tabletop fantasy games and everything. That's when I was getting out because they were just like so money grabbing. Like I hated the tabletop gaming industry after they kind of like, you know, were the stronghold in the genre.
Yeah, and now they're releasing a different version of Dungeons and Dragons every year or something.
Every
like that.
Year. I know, really? Man. Oh, yeah.
Something
dude.
Like that.
Well, I remember when, like, I can't remember what, like, the fourth edition or something like that
came out. Ooh, fourth edition was gone.
Yeah, fourth edition was relatively recently, and now they're on, like, fifth or something like that. So.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Fourth edition recently? Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude.
I'm talking,
ridiculous.
Like, 10 years ago. I'm talking.
Yeah, they were still on like 3, and 3.5 was back in early 2000s, like maybe 2004 or something like that. 3.5 came out.
Maybe it was 3 then. Maybe 3 is what I'm thinking of. Because I remember that was like the big thing. That's the first time I ever tried. I was like, oh my god, it's a new like third or fourth edition.
Yeah.
But every year now they're doing that shit.
Seems as such.
It's not every year. It's I think it's almost like every 2 years they do a hardcore like new edition. Yeah. But like it's more because I mean the jump from D&D 1 to 2 was huge.
But what can the like, jump be? Just rules? Because isn't D&D all your imagination and what the fucking?
Well, there's nothing like now. There's like I mean for me like I'm like old school like version 1 and 2. So like I'm still like if I were to play like D&D right now, I wouldn't be happy unless we were like figuring out Thaco and all that stuff. Like that's like old that school. To hit armor class 0, you don't really know that stuff. As much as I dig on you guys about magic, I was all about some D&D back in high school.
Wow. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, dude.
I've liked the idea of it. I've just never really, really played it. I played it
so fun, man. So
I'm
fun.
Sure it is.
So we need to do that, Chris. Do you have any like Generation 2 monster manuals or DM guides or anything like that?
Crystal Might.
Yeah.
Yeah. We Crystal was huge into D&D. Oh, my God. Way more than I ever was.
I may have to holler at Crystal. We may need to get some D&D nights going.
I would love that.
That would be awesome.
It'd be hard to do, but I would love that.
Let's do it. It's happening.
It's a thing.
It is a thing that is going to happen right after this next email coming from our homie, the sleepy Mr. Nip.
I see what you did there.
He says, I love the idea of cloud gaming, sleeping in the clouds. I love the idea of cloud gaming, cloud-based saving. I would definitely like to see this expanded upon. It would really be great of the next generation consoles to make this a default thing. I also love the idea of more and more games being physical and digital releases. I would love to see it to the point where all physical games have a digital counterpart. They, if they could be priced the way Japan PSN does it, that'd make it even more enticing for digital versions. Not to mention the ability to pre-order a physical or digital version. If all this becomes standard, that would be a dream come true. So, cloud-based saving.
I'm all for that.
What's that?
I'm all for that.
Yeah, me too. I think it's a great addition. Yeah. And especially when you have a situation like PS3 and PS Vita. Have that mm-hmm. that type of connectivity, you know, the possibility of having the same game on both systems and being able to pick up right where you left off, you know, whenever you want. I mean, that's big to me.
Agreed. I tried to play Dark Souls today on my other TV, and I was like, shit. Oh wait a second, I saved it with my cloud saving. Oh wait a second, I don't have PS Plus anymore, so I don't have.
Damn it!
Yeah,
and the important thing, it being a standard. Thing, not something that, like for me, that's the only, like the cloud saving is the only reason I have PS Plus. The only reason. So, I mean, like.
Do you have two PS3s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have it be the reason. I mean, have it be a standard in your system. Like, you know, even if you have to pay for it, like at least, you know, even though Microsoft jumped on the cloud saving train, you know, there's at least more to go with. I mean, because like I said, I mean, I love Xbox Live. I mean, I could not have a subscription for it. So, I mean, it's about time they jump on that train. But like for me, PlayStation Plus, if cloud saving wasn't in that package, I would not take it.
Right, right.
At all.
I think it's the big selling point for it.
It's the only selling point for it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, yeah. So,
yeah, like
and then he also mentioned the of course, especially with the Vita coming out, it being kind of like a standard thing, but the day and date physical and digital releases.
I think that's huge.
Huge.
I think that is awesome. I like the way Steam does it, man. You can pre-order and it sets up your download. You can pre-download stuff and just unlocks the key.
I really hope that they start doing that with PSN. That would be a good idea for them.
I don't even care if they even just do it. I don't care at first if they don't even have a discount because it's digital. I just think it would be awesome one day to be like, you know what, I want to get this game, I just don't feel like going out, like, you know, to the store at midnight, but I want to play it tonight, just, you know, set that shit up, have it ready to go, or set it up, you get home from work, and boom, it's already on your hard drive.
That'd right.
be awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's going to happen. I think that's pretty much guaranteed.
Just right.
When.
And well, now we have a couple of emails left, but Chris, are you set up to VM me right in the face?
Let's do it.
Do it.
G'day, buddy. Fluffy, how are you?
Fluffy!
Okay, mate, for your question of the week thingy you got on. Mate, I've got to say, one of the things that's been happening, and I'm really sick of, is different shops with different pre-order bonuses.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, if they want to do different bonuses and shit, fine, but have it at every other shop, you know? Like, $60 for, I'm doing your stupid fucking cheap prices you've got over there, so instead of ours. Like, $60 for a standard, or $65 for this one, or $70 for that one, or $75 for the next one, whatever the fuck you want. And, you know, take your pick which pre-order bonus you want at the shop you always go to. So you don't have to run around. And you know what'll make it even better? It's like, if you know when you go for breakfast, you say, yeah, I'll have the breakfast thing, please, and it's got your bacon and your sausage, but yeah, your bacon, your sausage and your eggs and that, that I'll pay 50 cents extra for tomatoes. And pay 50 cents extra for fucking hash brown. Whatever you do. Do that. Like, how awesome would it be? It's like, okay, I don't want that big, stupid, giant collection, but I want this one, and that little thing that comes with that super giant collection, you know, add on to your thing. I don't know if that makes sense. It made sense when I thought about it, but, you know, I rambled a bit. Yeah, that's all I could think of. So, I'm gone. See ya.
All right, so Jeff.
Let's talk about this.
So, Jeff, you and I are going to take a step back for a second. Chris?
Oh, I fucking hate this shit. This is one of mine, big time. I actually put a vent up on the site about this shit because THQ came out and said, hey, here's the pre-order bonuses for Darksiders 2. And GameStop's, like, getting a bonus mini-quests, and Amazon's getting some fucking, like, horse power-up so your horse can ride faster, and Best Buy is getting, like, some souped-up armor or some shit like that. Just give fucking everybody everything. Why do you have to do this? All you're doing is, I mean, especially with THQ, it's like, don't you want to, you know, get people to buy your game? I mean, rather than cause confusion and you know... Now I got to figure out if I'm willing to go to GameStop and buy a game from them. You know, it's like I would just much rather. I mean, and Scott said it on the thread that on the post that I put up on the site. He said I will likely still go to Best Buy and buy it, and then I'll just buy the DLC when it comes out because I'll probably have the quests on DLC, and that's likely what I'm going to end up doing too. Because I mean, it's just I hate that shit.
It's just stupid. Like, it's why are they in cahoots with retailers? Like, for stuff that should be, it's on the disc, should be. Why are you punishing certain gamers from buying at certain areas that they don't have one around them? Maybe they just don't like shopping at a specific like retailer. Like, I think it's just retarded. Like, the first time this really pissed me off was when Batman Arkham City was coming out because they had
different bats for fucking
ones.
Everybody.
Exactly, and I was like, this is so dumb, like, I want all of them, and you're gonna make me, like, and then, yeah, they come out with, like, you can buy them all, like,
if
later.
If you want this suit, you have to go buy a soft drink.
Yeah,
it's like fuck you. Over it.
Yeah, that was they had different retailers, and you had to get a fucking soft, I totally, fuck enjoy, you, Chris, why do you have to remind me
enjoy your Batman Beyond suit and your kidney stones.
Well, thank you, Jason, I actually had to drink one of those, but holy crap.
Oh, shit, Jeff Brofist. Yeah, seriously, dude, that shit pisses me off.
It's one of my biggest pet peeves. I absolutely despise it. Like, my worst nightmare is if, like, there's a fighting game that come out that say certain characters are retail only, and that would just, that would fucking...
Looking at you, Soul Calibur. Yeah, how's that about?
Did they do that?
Well, I mean, they have the different characters for different
Yoda,
systems.
Yoda, Vader.
Oh, well, no, for different systems, yeah, that's also bullshit, too. But yeah, no, I'm talking about the retailer stuff. Like, that's even worse, because, like, usually Amazon gets something different, Best Buy gets something different, GameStop gets something different. That's, like, you know, three different things, and that's not even depending on console you buy. That's retailer.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off, devs.
That's unfair. It really is unfair to people. Yeah,
I don't get the idea of it. I don't understand. It's like, to me, it should be more important to the studio to, you know, satisfy their customers rather than satisfy their retailers. Just saying. As far as, like, the collector's editions and stuff about, like, wanting to get things a la carte that way, that would be cool, but it'd be really hard for publishers to do. So, I like that idea. I don't think it would ever happen.
on consoles for a while, anyway.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it for the emails, for voicemails.
Thanks, Fluffy.
All right, so we have one more email. It comes from Sean Recupido. He says, first, I think the concept that all games should come out on disc or worth the exact same price as at release needs to go. Not every single game should be priced equally. Secondly, iterative hardware needs to go. I hate feeling screwed as an early adopter. I also hate the trend of mandatory PS3 firmware updates for stuff that no one gives a shit about. Like the name of a PlayStation Network or a browser nobody uses.
The name of a PlayStation Network.
Also, fuck pre-order bonuses. I never redeemed those stupid codes anyway. I can't think of any really good trends that should stay off the top of my head. Keep up the good works, guys. And
hey,
again, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Pido.
Thanks, Sean.
Sean, go to EB, buy Darksiders 2, and send me the core code if you're not going to use it.
So, Sean, on the real tip, though, I gotta tell you, man, homie, dude, I'm sorry. Everything you mentioned, that stuff's not going to stop. It's just not.
What about the thing he wants to do, though? He wants to see pricing, so it's more of an elastic pricing, right?
And I think we're going to – we might start seeing that.
I think we're going to start seeing that on like the portable front. I think we're going to see that more there.
Because if you look at like the Vita, if you look at the Vita games, the launch games, they're priced relatively spaced out. Like
they're all over the place.
There's games that are 29, there's games that are 39, and Uncharted is 50. And you know, most people may not realize it, but the reason Uncharted is 50 is because it's on the larger media. There's two gig and 4 gig media, so they had to put Uncharted on the 4 gig media, probably. So it costs them more.
But so. I think for home consoles, I think 60 is going to be the standard. I don't think they're not going to break away from that. I mean, whatever the standard is, whether it's 50, 60, I don't think we're going to see, like, whenever, you know, the quote-unquote 720 or the PS4 is going to come out. Mm. I don't think we're going to see a $70 price tag on standard video games. But I think once they decide what the standard price is, whether it's 50 or 60, I think one of those two prices are going to stick. But whenever that price sticks, that's going to be the price for all games.
See, I think that's what's going to happen. But I like the way because Japan do it like it's based on the game. But the problem there is some games can be like $100. So it's like if they had like a cap, like 60 is the highest, but anyone could pretty much release stuff lower.
Right.
But realistically, like so many people are used to paying $60, they're going to put it that anyway. But I mean, I mean it's some. Publisher should probably like, you know, swallow their pride a little bit and be like, all right, let's put this out for 40, and it'll probably sell a lot more than we would. Like,
Rayman Origins says hi. Yeah. There it is.
I was just gonna say like Rayman. Apparently that was profitable. Like Navision actually.
Yeah, there was a story that said that they didn't make money.
They made money, which is great. But I mean, look how many times like. A week after that game came out, it was discounted to like $30 at a lot.
Shit,
of places
I bought that game for $20, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like I ended up like, getting it for $22,
like
but
less
not
than
to
a month
a
after it came out.
Yeah, and I mean, why? Maybe they should be like, oh shit, man, if we make a sequel or something else, let's just throw it out there at $30 or $40 from the get go. And I hope
and
more publishers
like,
follow that.
Why is the Vita version $40?
Because I guess at this point they've already made a profit. They might as well be like, hey. And it's a launch game, dude.
The big question is why that game wasn't a downloadable game to start with. Let's just throw
it. It's relatively
it's pretty big.
Long and
it's long.
I think it should be a retail release. Just because a game is 2D sprite based doesn't mean that it should automatically be downloaded.
Well, no, but I think that's a lot of the casual people look at that being like, why isn't it a download? Because that's what they're used to. If it's not like 3D and crazy graphics all up in your face. Then it should be a deal. And it makes sense. I mean, there's some big, like, I mean, Starhawk's a downloadable game. Like, there's a bunch of big games now. Like,
You can make a big argument that Alan Wake or I Am Alive is not a retail game. Like, you can make that argument.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, they could have been downloadable. The new Alan Wake 2, like, the new one is gonna be Xbox Live Arcade only. And I guess they figured it's probably a better market. And I actually think, like, if Rayman was Xbox Live Arcade, Xbox Live Arcade and PSN.
Yeah, that.
At $30, it probably would have done more out the gate than it did. Like, kudos for them to, you know, cleaning up their shit before it really hit the fan and getting people to buy that game. But, no, I kind of agree with Travis like that. If that was a downloadable game, I think it would have done better. Just because that's the way people look at that shit now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Do you think that game could have sold better as a downloadable title But I mean, you already said that, but maybe as like a higher price, like a maybe a higher tiered.
Yeah, 20, so 20 say, like 20, 30 bucks. 30 bucks, I think it still would have done better at $30 on Xbox Live PSN. Yeah. I think if Miramasa wasn't on the Wii and it was downloadable for like other consoles, I think it would have done better as well.
See, that's kind of weird, though.
I would
definitely
agree with that.
That's kind of like a, I think there's like a two-way street there, though. But like, okay, Rayman released at $60. Big mistake. Huge mistake. So they knew that within the first
especially
week.
When they already announced it as a DLC game first. It was first announced as as episodic.
Exactly. So after the first week, they already dropped it to like $45 and $40, like really, really quickly. Okay, they realized their mistake. But like, you know, we made that comment. They made a good decision. But then I asked you that, you know, if this was a higher tiered price of a downloadable game. See, I think people would have had a problem with that. Because everybody's complaining about the rising prices of like Xbox Live and PSN. And if they would have dropped a $30 downloadable Xbox Live arcade game, people would have freaked.
Well, I think you hit it.
Even though that game is completely worth it for $30. Completely worth it. It's a steal for $30. Let's say that. I think people would have bitched. $30 for a downloadable game? Bullshit.
Well, yeah, on Xbox, they would have bitched about it. On PSN, I don't think they would have, because Sony's already put out games that are like $30 on PSN that are download only or whatever. On Xbox, because Xbox started with like fucking like $1 games and like $2 games. And I think if it's of a certain price and a certain gigage, it's got to be on games on demand. It can't even be on Xbox Live Arcade.
Right.
It's like Crysis. Crysis is $30, right?
Right. Something like that.
And that wasn't really like, no one's really, that's on games on demand. It's not on Xbox Live, but on PSN. It's just right on the PSN store. So yeah, I think that's just something to do with like people's stigma with Xbox Live versus PSN. I think on PSN it would have done fine. On Xbox, you would have had the people being like, what? And they couldn't have called it an Xbox Live arcade game. That's the thing. And I don't think enough people buy Xbox on demand games that it would do.
In other words,
there.
People who only own Xboxes are cheap and people who only own PS3s are not.
Well, they're cheap because they're already spending $50 on a year's subscription to their service.
Online, exactly. I think it's more or less just conditioning, man. It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like people who play PSN, who only have PSN, they're going to say like, well, I'm fine with PSN voice chat. Well, the only reason you're fine with PSN voice chat is because you haven't experienced the other side of it. It's like people on Xbox are like, well, I'm not used to paying $30 for an Xbox Live downloadable game. Whereas people on PSN are like, I'm totally fine with that. I bought Warhawk. You know, bought fucking...
Yeah,
well, Starhawk's probably going to be around the same area, so I think
Starhawk
just depends
will probably
on what you're
be a retail
to.
Release for full price because there's a single player campaign as well.
Right.
Yeah. I guess we don't even know what that's going to be yet. Who knows? But yeah, I think it just depends on where you spend most of your time, what you're used to. It's all about habits and fucking shit like that. I had a good word, but I threw out shit like that because I couldn't think of the word.
Nice.
Conditioning of the gamers on each side.
Well, that's all I got for question of the week. You guys got anything else to drop?
I got a couple
of
things.
We're
still a bit negative,
actually.
I got a couple.
Go for it.
I got fuck off with the teaser announcements for announcements. We've talked about that a few times.
Here's the date when we're going to announce the release date.
I am so, so sick of that.
I agree. That shit's ridiculous.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. That's another one really funny is, I want Capcom to fuck off the whole re-releasing of games
in the same
every
fucking
year,
year.
And, you know, the same year especially. Just put out as DLC. You're not going to sell any more copies, I don't think, with the stuff. I'm pretty sure Street Fighter sales went like down from 4 all the way to AE, and then I'm pretty sure Ultimate didn't do as good as Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Just put it as DLC. Let people download that shit. $20, whatever.
You know what? Here's my thing. I think that is somewhat profitable.
Mm.
I think Capcom's making money off of these different iterations of these fighting games. I think they are. If not, they wouldn't be constantly doing it. I would not be surprised. Maybe we can even call this a prediction. If we see some sports games do that, even though they do their weekly updates and everything, or their monthly updates, or whatever the case may be, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some like iterations of sports games doing it.
Downloadable stuff in the same year.
Yep, releasing in the same year like a new game.
I think Capcom learned the lesson with Ultimate. I don't think they're going to do that again. I don't think that's something that's going to catch on.
Sell at all, did it?
I think it did okay, but it would have done a lot better if it was just DLC.
Yeah, a ton at GameStop.
Yeah, I'm sure they sold store. Like. Yeah, it's who knows? Like it didn't. I don't even know if it made it on like the top 10 or whatever NPDs, whatever. But look how much shit Madden. Like NBA, NHL, all those games get already for yearly releases. If they started doing like bi-yearly, oh man,
that'd be rough.
That'd be something. That's for sure. If anything, I'd like to see the sports games do something similar to, like, I think Capcom got it right with Arcade Edition of Street Fighter 4 because you could download it. If you already had Super, you download it for $15, as opposed to if you bought it in the store, it was $40 or $30, but that's if you didn't have the game already.
Right.
I would like to see Madden, like EA, 2K, do, hey, if you already have, you know, Madden 2012, for $15, you download everything that's been added for 2013.
Right, and this is something that I've brought up before. You know, with what the EA's doing with their they call it tunings. You know, hardware, software tunings. Basically, what it does, it adds, you know, extra animations, add graphical improvements to the game and whatnot. Like, these are things that it actually changes the game and how it plays on the disc. It's not just adding, you know, stats.
Well, it's an engine thing. Yeah,
it's an engine thing. It completely kind of changes the engine based off the firmware that they download on the system, and it's a huge deal. But they did it. One time.
Exactly. And they'll say one it every time. Year. Every year. That's my biggest pet peeve. Well, we changed the engine this year. We were from the ground up. You're like, you're playing the game. You're like, they did not do anything from the ground up.
It was literally like a month or two after the release of Madden. They touted, oh, tuning is going to change the way we do sports games now. They did it one time with Madden 12. And that's when it got in my head that, okay, well, where are the other tunings? The game's done. Like, this week they officially released their last, you know, statistical player update. They've stopped it. They're done completely with Madden 12. Okay, and they did one tuning, and they were touting that this is the new thing in sports games. That's what makes me think that, you know what, maybe putting, like, you know, Madden 12 Elite Edition, you know, 8 months after Madden 12 originally released, or 6 months after Madden 12 released, is not that far-fetched. It is not that far-fetched, so I would not be surprised.
The only reason I hope not either, but the thing is, those games are seasonal, though. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, those games sell mostly before the season starts, or early in the season, or playoff time. Those are, like, the three high times for those. And I don't see, when do you release, like, an Elite? Because, like, right now, football is over. So it's done. Like, but would you release
funny
it
enough,
before,
this is the
after?
Time where I start picking back up with my Madden. Okay. And a lot of my friends do that as well. Like, when the season's done,
then it might work,
you kind of pick up with Madden again. Like, I'm like in week 9 on my season already. Ever since, you know, the Super Bowl was finished up with, well, you know, I pick up my Madden.
We know EA listens to this, so fuck you, Travis, for even suggesting that.
God damn. So,
you know, hey, can I interrupt with something really quick?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I am anyway, so fuck you. okay, so Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah.
Sold 1.75 million copies.
Not bad.
Oh, right? Wow. Okay.
Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
300,000.
80,000.
Yeah, I'd say around there. Oh, 80,000. Wow.
80,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Huge drop off. Like, the only people I know that in our regular fighting game circle that bought that were, I think Anitech got it, and I think Animated Fan got it, and maybe Blue Steel. I can't remember. Yeah, Blue Steel did get it. But usually with, like, these iterations, like, everyone in Fighting Game Circle got all the editions of Street Fighter, but they came out a year apart, every single one of them, so it didn't seem that bad. But, yeah, but fucking, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking less than a year.
Less than a year, dude. Less. It was, like, 8 months or something like that.
It's ridiculous to see this, like, this listing. Four listings, two platforms per game, and all of them were in 2011. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. And the winner for Game of the Year fucking fighting game can go to either Marvel's Capcom 3 or Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. It's like, really? Come on. And the thing is, they announced that pretty shortly after MVC 3 was released. Like, people knew these characters were there. There were screenshots of What's-His-Face from Dead Rising and stuff, like, before MVC 3 got released. Yeah. So it's like, where are these characters? DLC? Yes, DLC. Nope. We're going to screw you guys. We're not going to give you DLC. We're going to release an entirely new game. But, yeah. That was $40, but still.
Cool.
Don't anything do it anymore.
Anything else, Jeff?
No. That's all I got written down anyway.
The trend that I hate right now is fucking proprietary hardware that doesn't necessarily need to be. AKA 360 hard drives and Vita memory cards.
Those are the two biggest offenders, I think.
Yeah, they are. Right now. They are. Yeah. So.
I don't think that'll change, though, unfortunately.
I don't either. I don't either.
Consoles.
Mainly because, you know, Sony looks at that as part of the reason they got burned with the PSP. So, you know, thanks, hackers, fuckers, pirates, I should say. But that's it. That's it for me.
All right. Cool.
Are we done then?
I think so.
All right, let's do some new releases.
All right.
Here is what you're getting next week for PS3, Azura's Wrath, Syndicate, Outdoors Unlimited, and Flashback Map Pack 2 is coming out for Uncharted 3. Let's see here. For the 360, we are getting Azura's Wrath, Syndicate, Alan Wake's American Nightmare, Heavy Fire, Afghanistan. I think I've said that like 8 other times on this fucking new release list. That's never coming out as vaporware. How about that? Sledgehammer and Outdoors Unlimited. Wii is also getting Outdoors Unlimited. 3DS is getting Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater 3D. And then it's also getting Fractured Soul Deep Void. And I got another list of Vita games. To say, you know, official release is coming next week. Shinobido 2 Revenge of Zen. That's made by the same people that did Tenchu. If you're into that game, you'll probably like Shinobido. Dynasty Warriors Next, Army Corps of Hell, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom, which will sell 10,000 copies, Ninja Gaiden Sigma Plus, Touch My Katamari, Hustle Kings, and Stardrone Extreme will be on PSN. And that is your new release list. So pick the week.
I didn't realize they're releasing Sigma again.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden Sigma Plus.
Getting hyped for that 3, man.
What do you think? Pick of the week.
Vita!
Fucking Syndicate, yo.
I'm going to go with Vita Hardware.
Vita Hardware! Go Vita. Woo!
Super all right, hype. That's it for new releases. So let's pass it back.
I got nothing for emails. G off. You got any IDQs?
You have an email.
You do have an email because you started reading one.
Yeah, because I have to edit this fucking show because you fucked up.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, here it is.
And see, listeners, that is why sometimes your emails get fucked up or not read.
That's why sometimes your emails don't get read. I blame Travis.
Blame the T-Rav.
Pretty much any problem, they blame me. It happens. It happens.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So anyway, Asian came in with these questions. He says,
no reason to be racist.
From these groups, which of these three would you want in real life? Transformers? You know, there's three different sets of questions. So the first one, okay. Transformers, Robotech, or Gundams?
Transformers, hands down.
Agreed.
You guys suck Robotech
fuck
all
that,
the way.
Man. I could call my car and tell him to come pick me up.
What's your reasoning with Robotech?
What's that?
What's your reasoning with Robotech?
Because Robotech's it tells a better story.
We're not talking about the story.
Which do you want in real life?
Because I like it better, god damn it. I like it better.
Be objective, Travis.
Thank you.
Seriously. Transformers. You can ride in a car,
because
you can
of the
ride
fact
a jet.
The fact that I'm riding in the jet, and then I could flip a switch, and then the jet becomes actual full-sized...
that never happens in Transformers.
Never. Never, never, never.
I love you, Jeff.
I want my Robotech.
You can be a truck.
IRL.
What was the other choice?
You turn into a big fucking gun, man.
Oh,
a
Gundam?
Base! A
Gundam,
base!
Who cares? Yeah, who cares?
A planet!
Does anyone watch Gundams anymore? Is Gundam a thing?
I think they have something to do with Dynasty Warriors or something.
Yeah. Whatever, if Gundams happened in real life, it would be really, really repetitive. So.
Yeah.
The next one, zombies, vampires, or werewolves? Well, we know zombies are real, so...
No, yeah,
by default.
Which would we want in real life?
I'd say vampires. They seem
zombies.
Not Twilight vampires, though.
No, Twilight zombies. Vampires are not vampires.
They're not vampires.
I'd go with vampires, because, you know, True Blood has taught me that there could be some nice vampires out there.
Zombies.
Where zombies, they're just going to kill you. They don't care. They don't give a fuck.
I want zombies.
Are you going to play poker with a zombie?
No, dude, fuck it. You don't have to worry about anything. You get a whole bunch of zombies running around. You don't have to worry about taxes. You don't have to worry about working.
No, but you
got to
worry about fucking zombies.
It's about survival, dude. It's all about survival.
I think these questions are going right above your head, dude.
I think so too.
I think they really are.
I think vampires or werewolves. Pick one.
Zombies.
You want to be scared for your life for the rest of your life.
I'm that sure that I am that ready for the zombie apocalypse.
Bring on the zombies.
Bring them.
That's not the question, though. The question is, which one would you rather have in real life?
Exactly. And I'm that ready. I am that prepared, mentally and physically prepared for the zombie apocalypse. I've been training for like 10 years for the zombie apocalypse. Trust me, I am ready.
He watched every Resident Evil movie.
Bring on the fucking zombies.
All right.
Yeah. I pick one, either vampires or werewolves. It doesn't
either
matter.
Either one of those, yeah.
All right, the next one is nice DC characters, Marvel characters, or Disney characters.
Oh, that's actually a tough one. Well,
Marvel or Batman?
Marvel. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to get rid of DC just because Batman's probably the only person out of DC I'd be like you.
Yeah, I would say DC almost because of the fact that if they were all in real life, I feel like I could whip at least 80% of their asses.
Yeah, without any superpowers, you could take them, like any of them, really.
Marvel, not so much. There's some badasses in Marvel.
Hey, Green Lantern, I got your ring.
But imagine getting drunk with Goofy, though.
Oh, my God. He's like a sexual predator, though, man. He's weird.
he's a dog. Or is he a horse? No, he's a dog.
He's a dog.
Horse. Yeah, he's a dog. Definitely a dog.
All right. And lastly, what's an awesome local food item? I know Jeff's. Can I say yours?
No, sorry. What was the question again?
Awesome local food item.
Oh. Okay.
Can I say yours? Because it's something that it's not anywhere except there. And it's poutine.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it probably is.
And maybe Tim Hortons. I got to go Tim Hortons, too. That's a great coffee.
Yeah, but Tim Hortons, like the food there is just still generic. You can get that anywhere. Okay. Good call. I'd probably have to go with poutine. That's probably the first thing people say when they get here is, like, I need some poutine. Or I want to try some poutine. So, yeah, I'll go with poutine as well.
Ooh, definitely. This is a tough one.
Because there's nothing really local. There's nothing local really big for Atlanta. I'll go back with my home stuff, like over in New Orleans, but just po' boys in general. Shrimp po' boy, oyster po' boy, anything like that. Which is basically a sub, but it's made with French bread and, you know, real seafood and everything. It's top-notch, probably the best thing you'll ever eat if you ever go to New Orleans. Really good stuff.
Nice. I love me my shrimp and my lobster, that is for sure.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
I'm trying to think of when I was...
Nothing Italian, Chris? Nothing from the old, from the boot? I know you like that ziti.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not unique. But he's not to like here. I mean, it's
Well, I know Atlanta's southern, so you're gonna get like the fried chicken, like
hot wings. Oh, Atlanta fried chicken. Who's racist, Jeff?
No, seriously. But I'm dead serious. What? Like we don't have
How is that racist.
You'll be getting a tweet from Nabishan really, really soon.
Not at all, dude. You cannot. When I go down south, you got like the Bojangles, like the chicken and biscuits. Bojangles. That shit doesn't happen up north. Like, you don't have places like that.
That is crazy. Like, you come to Atlanta, like, maybe, like, once a year.
Yeah.
And you come off with Bojangles as
I'm just saying that's an example of...
When as your chicken go-to place?
I never said that.
Zaxby's.
Putting words in my mouth. I'm saying...
Zaxby's. You know what, Chris? You did it right there. In Atlanta, if you come to Atlanta and you don't go to Zaxby's, you should eat a dick and die.
Jesus.
Zaxby's is amazing.
Welcome to episode 218, Travis is an asshole.
It didn't take up to 218. What place is this? Is it a good place?
It's really good. I mean, Zaxby's, it's a fast food joint.
It's a fast food joint, but they do really, really good chicken. Really good chicken.
Okay.
It's the sauce.
Now, is it fried chicken?
They're actually more
fried
famous.
And grilled, they do both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're more famous for their actual sauce. For the chicken and not the chicken. I mean, the chicken's great by itself, but
I don't
like
their sauce.
You don't like Zach's sauce?
No, dude. It's mayonnaise.
What?
It's mayonnaise and barbecue sauce.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's Zach's sauce.
It's the mayonnaise and barbecue sauce.
No, the ingredients is sauce and Zach's.
By Zach.
That's what it is.
Which scares me even more. Worse.
What kind of sauce is Zach putting in that shit, man?
Yeah. I don't want to know. Zach's been single for a while, sauce. Just saying.
No, it's not barbecue sauce. It's mayonnaise and ketchup. That's what it is.
It's not mayonnaise and ketchup. I eat mayonnise and ketchup. Chris, I eat mayonnise and ketchup on the reg, dude. That is not mayonnaise and ketchup in Zach's sauce. It's awesome. It's hot.
Anyway. Said mayonnaise, ketchup. Good thing you said reg. I thought you said something else, and that totally just...
And if you want to stick actual, like Georgian or Atlantean, like fast food place, Chick-fil-A is always a winner too. Chick-fil-A is pretty hot.
That's like everywhere though in the South, though, isn't it?
Pretty much.
It's a southeastern thing. Yeah.
I've only had it when I'm there, but it is a fucking awesome place. But
here's the honest truth, man. If someone comes down here and comes into Atlanta, never been here before, down here, and they say, "Hey, let's go get something to eat," I say, "Do you like beer? Let's go to Taco Mac. That's what I said.
But there's no kind of food like you go to Chicago, you have like pizza, you know? You got like even New York pizza, even New York's famous for like their pizza as well.
Yeah,
like,
Jeff, I'm going to get you a pecan pie. How about that? Or maybe some peaches. That's all we got, dude.
Well, that fucking sucks.
Now, if we go back to New York, I could take you to Little Italy. You know, it's got the bakeries there.
No, we got Little Italy up in this shit.
Yeah, Toronto's got it all. They have Little Italy. Everything. They have Greek Town. Oh man, I'm telling you, some of that food in Greek Town was out of this world. Man, yeah. Toronto's got a whole bunch of shit.
We're an entire world in one little area.
Yeah.
Still try to be like New York. It doesn't really work that way.
Cool.
It's got to be something.
Hey,
fucking tell like a pizza pie in the sky place. Have a big ass pizza.
Dude, that yeah, but that pizza's not good.
No, it's not.
I
would take you to my cousin's place for pizza before I took
you. Oh, well, yeah. It's not going to be like a bakery.
Some good ass pizza, too, man.
I will say, every time I've been there, I've been like, yeah, we're going to go to the bakery. We've never gone.
You never been to the bakery?
Seriously?
No.
The Riccio Bakery is the shit, dude.
I know. Well, we'll go to
Clementi
this year.
Bakery, actually.
We'll I call it Riccio. I don't know the name of it. So it happens.
Papa Scoots.
Well, I always go in there.
Alpine Bakery. But
I always go in there and I'm like, hey, I know Scoots, and they never give me free shit. Never give me free shit.
Who's the guy with the hat on backwards and the fucking pants out low asking for Scoots? Yo, dog.
Yeah, it's just, did you see the little Schmidt up front? I don't know what's going on with that guy. He shortens all of his words.
Hey, Schmidt came in again wanting free shit.
Yo, Scoots, give me some za. Yeah,
scoop me up some za. Hey, can you scoop me up some Indus questions, Jeff?
Give me some of that chini. Yeah, sure. I got a couple of those. Good thing I have them ready. All right, we got two. But they're good ones. I like these. We got one from
is it Jack Bauer or Navishin?
We got one from Navishin and one from Jack Bauer. Navishin says, which touchscreen controls are more stupid? Vita Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 Combo Touch or Street Fighter 3DS Special Move Touch?
Street Fighter 3DS.
Yeah, I will because totally that's just disagree. Pressing one button.
I will totally. Have you seen the videos for Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
No.
You literally tap on your opponent. Keep tapping on them, you can do like a 36 hit combo, including juggles. So, like, you'll tap on your opponent, like, you'll hit them like 6 times, launch them, keep tapping on them, it'll do like an entire air combo, and end with a super.
Nice. That sounds like I'd be good at the game, though. So, I'm all about it.
You don't have to be good at it at all. It's totally. Oh, you don't have to be good. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So, that one is definitely worse in terms of, like, gameplay wise, and it's basically an I win button. Actually, I think Jason was saying he beat an entire game just by hitting like a corner of the screen or something like that. Like, it's pretty bad.
I'll agree with that then. I will say this though, walk forward Sonic Boom is bullshit. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, yeah, that is total bullshit. But you can do that in MVC as well. But there's no charge characters in MVC, but yeah.
Right.
MVC's got all of them. It's got the touch for specials and the touch for combo. Whereas 3DS, Street Fighter, you still got to know your links and stuff. Just your specials have that one button. Both are dumb. Don't use them.
Agreed. Ever.
Dark Bauer, good buddy, says, what's the worst injury you've ever had?
Let me think. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with getting my nose broke when I was a kid.
Oh,
that hurts.
How'd that happen?
Baseball bat right in the nose.
Oh,
I took a baseball bat in the mouth.
Or like,
what's that?
Was it like someone swinging bat, like a backswing?
It was a backswing. Luckily, it was a backswing. Yeah.
Oh God,
that's funny because I was a bat boy for my dad's softball team when I was like 5 or 6, and I was picking up a bat and the guy was in the they call it the hole, and he was like practicing his swing and everything, and on his backswing I just walked right behind him and knocked me right out. I was like 5 or 6.
Wow,
right in the face.
Yeah,
right in my old grill.
What'd you say it was from, a bat too?
Yeah.
Yeah, one I took those... one from a golf club when I was like about that age.
Ooh.
Backswing. But that was my worst. My worst is either just like a year or two ago when I had tendonitis in my shoulder. That fucking sucked because I couldn't do like anything. Or when I pretty much almost broke my ankle going down when Tani used to go to university in her res. When I res it for her and her roommates at a house, I went down their stairs on a snowboard and didn't land as well as I hoped. And thought it was okay that night because many a drink
we
had.
The Adventures of Jeff Chorney. Went down a flight of stairs on a snowboard.
Yeah, yeah. Her roommate did it first because they were sitting on it because he couldn't stand because the way the stairs went, like I was too tall. So they'd sit on it and go down. Like they looked like they had a lot of fun. Like, I can do this. So I went down sitting on it and I had my two feet on like the curve at the front. And then when I got close to the bottom, my right foot slipped and went underneath me. So my body kept going with the snowboard, and then my foot didn't. It stopped on the stair and totally fucked it up. And I was crawling around. I thought it was okay because I was, like, drunk. But the next day, my ankle was like a fucking balloon. It was just a very, very severe sprain, and I literally couldn't walk properly for, I'd say, almost a month. Yeah. It was really, really bad. That's probably the worst one
ever. I had one of those sprains, too. I actually was playing softball, and I slid into second base, and my cleat caught the base. Ooh. And the rest of me kept going.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
And me being the genius 18-year-old I was at the time, I was like 18, 19 years old. I was like, oh, I'll just walk it off.
Just run it off. Yeah, exactly.
And I did. I walked it off, and I didn't feel any pain. And I continued
that day,
to play for about that day. For about another hour or so, I played. And I'll tell you what, I tried to get out of bed the next morning. I thought I fell flat on my face.
Yeah.
It hurts so bad.
Anyone will tell you sprains are way worse than breaks. Like, I've broke my arm snowboarding before, and that was nothing compared to, like, bad sprains and shit I've had.
Yeah.
Like, even playing basketball.
I dislocated my shoulder in football in high school my junior year, and it was nothing worse than a terrible, terrible sprain I had in my left knee that still affects me to this day.
Oh, God.
Like, it's weird, man. Like, I still get inflammation on my left knee because of the fact of that sprain.
That shit stays with you like herpes, man. You just
like luggage. Man. Just stays with
exactly. That's probably a better word I should have used. Trust me, I don't have herpes anymore.
I was
going to
say, where'd that
they are
from?
Around forever.
He's like, oh, trust me, I know.
yeah. No, that's disgusting.
Anything else, man?
No, that's it for the endless questions.
All
thanks,
right.
Jack and Abshin.
Let's do question of the week then.
Yeah.
So a little bit earlier, we were kind of, you know, I don't know if you would call it discussing. I think we were almost arguing about marketing. And so let's do something with marketing. We haven't done that in a while. I think we have done something in the past. But so when you're thinking about buying games, what kind of marketing works on you? And, you know, what kind of marketing doesn't work?
What grabs your attention?
Yeah, what gets your attention to a game?
And also, to contrast, which do you think actually works as well? Because there's a difference between what grabs you and what you actually think is good for a company.
We could probably talk all day for that. So.
Exactly.
So if you want to answer the
question... So join us live at 9 o'clock in the morning.
If you want to answer the question of the week, you can send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's not leet, it's feet.
Or eight.
Eight. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I think you tweeted it to somebody.
Yeah, I posted it somewhere. I've tweeted it to someone. You can follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
That is G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff.
Facebook, Steam, and Google Plus. We are Interactive Distractions. And that is it. Come by Retroids and hang out in our forums and visit and post in the threads, that kind of thing. And, you know, come talk to us. It'll be fun. You guys have anything else before we wrap up and get out of here?
Yeah, backing up that Retroids thing, man. Let's get the discussions back going. It's been kind of quiet lately. Let's get back in the...
On the Retroids.
In the Retroid front.
Yeah, head over to Retroids and tell us what you guys think of the show.
Yeah, miss you guys.
We appreciate
it. Anything, start some threads. Start some shit. You know, whatever.
Start some shit.
Yeah. Watch it, because Ace might drop the ban hammer. He's a mod over there.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. I will say, I'm going to say this, we're going to actually be recording on Friday next week, so you have an extra day to get the question of the weekend. So keep that in mind. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games. And we'll talk to you next week.